Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. Now we sit back till
it's too late.
Rick Adams is on.
And good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're listening live or on the podcast or the archives that we have. I am Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio, as I am called by some. Today is, again, Saturday. Yes, once again, once a week, we get together for 2 hours from 1 to 3 Central Time, and it is the 20th of January. Time is flying, as we always say. My goodness, I can't believe it. Just another 10 days or so, and we'll be in February, God willing. You know, folks, Art is going to come up very shortly, Art from Philly, because originally we had scheduled Professor M. Raphael Johnson to be with us in the first hour, and unfortunately, well, he had to cancel. So hopefully we'll be able to do that, reconnect next Saturday. But in the meantime, Art will join us, and no shortage of things to bring to your attention, a bevy of very important matters. But most important, I think, of all is to get our spiritual priorities in order. And the first thing is going to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke in the Gospel, Chapter 21, I think if you highlight verse 12, Jesus himself is speaking, and he's talking to his apostles, and he's talking to this generation. He's talking to them so that it would be understood today by the final generation, the fig tree generation. And so he says in verse 12, he says, "But before all of these things shall happen, they shall lay their hands on you, the elect, those who are called in the first earth and heaven age from before the foundation of this age. They will lay their hands upon you, not to kill you, not to kill you, but," he says, "to persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues." Now, he didn't say the mosques. He said the synagogues, "and into prisons, and brought before kings and rulers and the mighty for my name's sake. And it they shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to premeditate before them what ye shall say. Speak only when the Holy Spirit gives you utterance," is what Jesus tells us. And he tells us this because Satan is the master of deception, and he will come as Christ. Not Antichrist, but he will come as the man instead of Christ, known to the world as Messiah, the long sought after peacemaker. So it's very important, I think, that we get that straight in our minds, those of us maybe who are called before the first foundation of this age that we live in now, the first earth and heaven age, that is, to understand that time is short and it could change very quickly within the twinkling of an eye and the flip of a hat. So he said that ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And you know why? Because the world is going to be saying one thing, and you're going to be saying something else. And they're going to consider you, family, friends, relatives, all of them will be saying that he is not of God, but of Satan. That's what they said about Jesus, you see. Kenites said that he was a devil. He was possessed of a devil. They're going to say the same thing about many of us when that time comes. And again, he says, "Do not worry, for they shall not harm a hair on your head." Why is that? Well, they want to present, and he, Satan, their master, wants to present us as troublemakers, but he as a peacemaker. And he is known as death. Perdition means death. He will not strike you down and kill you, Satan. He will do it to two that return, the two witnesses. But he won't kill the elect because he wants to show the world in the meantime that he is the Son of God, that he comes to make peace, not war. He comes to do away with all that war and threats of wars and all the rumors of wars. Now he comes as the man of peace and prosperity, filling bank accounts, making people wealthy again. All of these signs will happen in the final period when Satan rules. And it's a final five, for 2.5 months, okay? 2.5 months of the 5-month period that he speaks of when the time is shortened from a week, 7 days, down to 5 months, okay? So he says that in Revelation chapter 9, by the way. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, praise God, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The signs are everywhere, folks, in the heavens. In the earth, heavens are shaking right now. The foundations of the earth are beginning to crackle and pop and sizzle as never before. You know, we hear about Mount Rainier and, of course, Mount St. Helens again, and earthquake activity, volcanic eruptions. All of these are the signs of the time. And so Jesus says, beware, watch the world and watch Jerusalem. For when that day comes in Jerusalem, he said that he will come to destroy it. Not to redeem it, but to destroy it and the rulers of the city who think they've got it made. You know, Babylon the Great. Who will make war with the beast? So the beast says, and Christ says he will destroy the beast and take it down. This whole Babylonian captivity headquartered in Jerusalem. So he says, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, we see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh. That means the harvest time. So he says to us in Luke chapter 21, down in verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, for the day cometh upon you unawares. So, in other words, be ready. Be ready for that time. And the reason is because in a moment when you think not, the Son of Man will come. And I think that's a comforting thing to many of us to try to do that and to try the best we can to be wary that we don't have any pride or ego or boastfulness in ourselves. Because if we do, then we are getting away from God and we're going over to Satan. So just so you'll know that, folks. All right. Now, I don't know if Art is with us yet, but if he is, just let me know, Sammy, and we'll go to him. All right. Is Art with us now?
Hello, Rick. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly, Art. How are you this week?
Good. Great introduction. And
thank you. Well, you know, you and I have gone back a long way now on this program. And I know that right. You have done the political, economic research that probably most of us cannot do. You're great at it, and you're an excellent resource. And you've been watching things in this past week or two and events with all of these social media outlets, among other things. And I know you've sent us some emails concerning Google and concerning the new CEOs and so forth and so on. And maybe you'd like to just, begin where you'd like to begin. But we'll get into this. And so go ahead. Feel free.
All right, we'll start with Google. So there's a lawsuit from a former employee of Google, James DeMore, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And what he's doing is suing Google for reverse discrimination. In effect, what he's saying is that if you're white and conservative and a male, Google doesn't want you working for him or expressing any of those types of opinions. And as a result of that, there's a lawyer we hired who's going after Google, who has a track record. Now, you also see that Eric Schmidt of Google is stepping down, and the new CEO of Google, whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, is an Indian, okay?
From now, India.
From India, yes, right. Mm-hmm. So realize that India was never a friend of the United States. They were in the Cold War. They were on the Soviet bloc. If you look recently, you do the research, you can see that India has very strong military alliances with Israel, okay? Mm-hmm. Our greatest friend in the world, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we see a pattern here, okay? It's a pattern I've seen at Motorola, where Eric Schmidt is supposedly going back to. We've seen the pattern at Comcast. We see the pattern at Facebook. We see it at Oracle. We see it at Microsoft as an example. So what we're seeing here is once the Zionists get hold of a company, the first thing they want to do is get rid of the white American technical labor workforce and replace it with Indian labor.
The reason why they want to do that, I mean, why, they say they're white people. They consider themselves to be white themselves, but they are not.
To take the business out of the country.
Yeah, to bring us to that level where we are comfortably merged in a global situation, right?
Right, right. So what they've done in the past in other countries, you know, what they're planning to do, and it's so obvious, is they want to take these businesses we just talked, and they want to move their headquarters and everything, as many financial assets as they can, and get it out of this country. Okay? So that's what they're doing. It is so obvious. And they're actually getting subsidies from the federal government to do that, such as H-1B visa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can see what they've done in the past. For instance, look at the garment industry. They used to be in New York City, you know, throughout the Midwest. And where is it now? It's all in China. Try to find American-made clothes. It's, you know, it's much less than 1% of all the clothes that in this country are made in America anymore. And they're just repeating their successful financial strategy and now repeating it with high technology. So it's absolutely obvious to me, you know.
Yeah, and, it is. I agree.
Right, and I was trying to tell people this, and it's good that we're talking about it, is that, you know, maybe 15 years and earlier, Silicon Valley was basically a high-tech enterprise for the United States and creating many economic opportunities. Now I would call it Zion you know, Valley at this point. It's been taken over by the Jewish mafia, okay, the Cosa Nostra. And this is one example of it. And you'll notice how the pattern was repeated. It's almost a repeat of the pattern that we had back in the civil rights movement back in the 60s, okay, where, it's one thing to promote, you know, economic growth for the black community, but you didn't have to do it in such a way that you set up reverse discrimination and basically lock out the white Anglo-American population to get government contracts. Okay, you could have done it as a joint, you know, create incentives for a joint, you know, a joint effort to have both communities work together and do it as a cooperative effort rather than as an oppositional effort. Okay?
Sure,
it didn't have
sure.
to be this, done this way. All right. And then what's really, you know, when you talk about the black community with respect to this, they don't even see, you know, some of them do and some of them don't. They don't see how these Zionists have basically hoodwinked them and pushed them into poverty, okay? So what they're doing is just moving up the food chain. They got the black community into poverty, and now they're planning, they're progressing with their plan to do the same to the middle class. It's right out of the cookbook of the Communist Manifesto. Okay.
It sure is. It sure
right.
is. Yeah. It's the new, you know, twist of Bolshevism. You know, it's economic
right.
warfare, political warfare. And let's not leave out the other hidden dynasty, educational warfare. Now, go back to the 1970s and the late 70s and the early 80s. You remember the Bakke decision of the court?
Remind me. I remember hearing about it.
The Allen Bakke decision had to do with this whole business of affirmative action in college and in hiring and, well, scholarships and so forth. At the time, there was a Professor Shockley, you probably remember the name, who was advocating a position biochemically having to do with the intellect of all of the non-whites, but particularly Africans. And he was making some very disparaging, or what was considered to be disparaging, remarks about that, you know, quote, black community. But the fact of the matter is, this was the time of revolution, a time of a legal revolution affecting education. Because, see, the federal government was never supposed to be in education, but it started with Eisenhower and Sputnik. You know, right. And the whole lie that Sputnik was real, although it had been debunked by 1959, that Sputnik was just an excuse to get the federal government, HEW, in education. And, of course, that was totally unconstitutional. But it wasn't long after that we had the Civil Rights Revolution, and who was behind that, and who was behind Martin Luther King's marches and demonstrations and so forth, who was behind the burning down of cities, and then we had some little bit of, shall we say, Jewish lightning taking place, too, and insurance collections. The rebuilding of those so-called ghettos, throwing out the blacks and moving them deeper and deeper into the inner cities and so forth. So we came to the Bakke decision and how it changed the whole landscape with this concept of affirmative action. And then we went to quotas and hiring and all sorts of things. And, you know, people still today will argue that point. Affirmative action is not racism in reverse. You know, it's not any such thing, but the reality actually tells us differently. And we're seeing the end result of it now, where, as you just pointed out, in economics as well as in academia and as well as in politics, you know, we're dealing with gender politics and identity politics, which excludes any mention or any reference to white culture or white achievement or anything that has been done by the whites in this country. So it is a minimization, you know. It's an attack, and it is a genocide. I will say there is an anti-genocide policy, anti-white genocide, rather. And Paul Craig Roberts, I think, has done a wonderful job of exposing it himself. And if I have time, I'll, you know, reference it later on. But he has jumped on the bandwagon, you know, as he becomes more and more outspoken on this subject. So it is a pattern, and who is directing the pattern? Who is directing all kinds of racial division and racial warfare between whites and blacks and Hispanics and Asians? And you know, again, those that escape mention are the ones who are directing it.
Right, right. I mean, that's exactly what's going on. And the sooner people wake up and see what's going on in front of them, don't fall into that game, the better off we can be. You know, first of all, the black community was victimized first in this country with respect to this. There was a lot of issues that the black community brought up. But, you know, they aligned themselves with the Jewish community, thinking they were going to help them. And if they really did help them, how well is that working out for them now, okay? Whose schools have been turned into mob-controlled charter schools with an education that's going to crap, okay? So they're expanding that. We can see into the middle class. But they started with the black community, and they're just bringing it up into the white community till they basically destroy this country through divide and conquer, okay? Miseducation, you know. What's their motto? By disinformation, we shall wage war, okay? And you mentioned schools.
Yep.
Let's see how it's going. All right, first of all, No Child Left Behind, okay? That's nice per se, but the real agenda there was the Annenberg Crime Syndicate getting into public schools, and let's just act, you know, basically just like an accounting firm, let's look at the assets of the schools and figure out how we can basically break it up. And next thing they do is come up with Common Core, okay? You know, let's destroy the public educational system with Common Core and then create the alternative, which would be charter schools. And once they have charter schools owned by the syndicate, okay, they now have the property owners of the communities, you know, by the tail. And they can financially ruin them, you know, quadruple the price of their property taxes till they price them out. What happens next? Oh, they become renters, okay? So now they can take over all the property because, you know, they've turned it, they've redlined the property like they've done on 42nd Street in New York. And, you know, they get it at bargain basement prices. It is so obvious what they're doing. And it's not hard to understand. Once you look at a money trail and you see what they're doing, you can see what they're doing not only in this country, but on a global scale. And again, they basically try to, you know, play the races against each other, except themselves. Looks like we have a break.
And a good note to pause on. Indeed, you said it well. Okay, time for a break. With Art from Philly, Rick Adams, Uncensored. We have some media clips I think you'll find very interesting later on, so don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Oh, yes, we're back, folks, and Art is with us, and we are, well, you know what we're doing. We're talking about the real issues that are not being addressed directly or indirectly by most other forums, and you're hearing it here on RBN. So, yeah, as you were pointing out, Art, there is a pattern. There is a group, an elite. We can call them what we want. We can refer to them, you know, as Carol Quigley referred to them, you know, as globalists or insiders or conspirators. And he admitted it in his book, Tragedy and Hope. And then Obama came along. And, of course, one of the books that he authored was The Audacity of Hope, proving in his book that he was just one more cog in the wheel, you know, of the machinery of world government, knowing willingly wherever he came from. Nobody really knows. But we do know that he was prepped and primed for this job by the mafia sometime, a long time before he was installed in the White House. And this is a fact that people today are beginning more clearly now as I talk with them to see the hidden hand of tyranny. When, you know, the Rosenthal interview comes to mind particularly. So, right. You know, there's a pattern here. And, you know, Google, you know, and all of the others are doing this. eBay has done it for a long time. All of them are doing their darndest to, you know, to circumvent domestic American politics and economics so that they can reach out. Now, I don't say that I blame all of the larger corporations for doing it either. because the tax structure has encouraged them to do that. The legislation has been passed by Congress over the years since the 80s to enable them to go offshore and, to actually, downsize here and expand there. And then we have the free trade zones, too. Like Vietnam, for instance, you'll find a number of items floating will come from communist Vietnam, where we gave 55,000 American lives on the altar of Moloch. So, again, it's all about following the money trail and those that have the money. Rothschild.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, Rockefeller. And,
But with Obama and education, we've talked about it, but never heard it on mainstream media. They talked about the guy Ayres from the Weathermen basically influencing Obama to rise to power. But who did Ayres introduce Obama to? The Annenberg Crime Syndicate.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Walter Annenberg, but Wallace Annenberg, his daughter, was still there. And what did he do? He rose running No Child Left Behind or Chicago. All right? And look how that turned out. How's Rahm Emanuel? That good old Irish boy, Rahm Emanuel, running the city of Chicago, bringing back Paul Vallis, the poster boy for the Annenberg Foundation, for how basically he runs school districts into the ground and then basically has them taken over by mob-controlled charter schools. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the black community supporting that. Very few people in the black community were actually speaking out against Obama destroying their educational system. And it was a sham. He didn't improve it. He basically was handed it over to the mob. All right. Now you got Trump. Who's he got for the educational director? Betty DeVos? What is she doing? Same thing. We got to get charter schools going throughout this country. You think it's just going to stop the black community? It's not going to stop till they get every darn public school district in this country owned by charter schools, and you'll see who really owns those. And one of the big players is K12.com. Which we talked about is convicted felon Michael Milliken, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Directly
mm-hmm.
tied in with 9/11. And, we don't let convicted felons work in our schools, but we let them own them. You never hear that part about it.
No. Another thing, too, the infrastructure and the buildings of these schools across America, I know I can speak of my area personally, are crumbling. They're being destroyed, by the way. Not that they're all outdated. Many of them are being destroyed from within. The buildings are crumbling. The teachers' pensions are being scavenged and taken and so forth. Meanwhile, the cost of upkeep and maintenance is skyrocketing. So they're asking for billions now on state and local levels. I'm talking billions of dollars in bond issues, bond obligation issues, to rebuild these schools. And why is it that many of them in these charter school movements, if they just buy the school themselves, let them do it? Why not? Why not let them provide the money? And we have Mr. Feinstein in my particular area who wants his name on every building that can be built. And we can have Spielberg, and we can have just a few others, to name a few, perhaps contribute to the upkeep, if not the out-and-out purchase of the buildings and making new buildings so that we can have new young minds that are totally and completely vacuum brain. Why not?
Right. And I have an idea. Mm-hmm. You want a private school, charter school, that's fine. Charge tuition and don't take any public taxes. The property tax owner should not be paying for a private enterprise to get rich with an educational scheme, which is what they're doing. Okay?
Right. And, exactly. Yep.
Right.
Scavenging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then look at the whole game there. As we mentioned before, with Sandy Hook and a guy from Aurora, their parents were both being investigated by Congress over the LIBOR scandal, which was the London Interchange Bank overnight rate. And J.P. Morgan, Citibank, a couple of the other big banks were all directly involved with it. Looks like we got to break up the show.
It all comes down to following the money trail and who runs the banks. All right, we'll come back, folks. You can jump in anytime. Rick Adams and Art from Philly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What have you done? Thousands of years of building and rebuilding, creating and recreating so you can let it crumble to dust. A million years of sensitive men dying for their dreams. For what? So you can swim and dance and play.
Return, folks. Rick Adams and, of course, Art Philly. We're just juicing it up a little bit here. There's a lot of juice to squish out of the orange as we're analyzing just how much deception, how much control over us has been the case. And, you know, you want to go back far and far and far back. How far back do you want to go? I mean, if you want to go back to a more recent time in my time and my life on this earth in physical form, 40, 45 years ago, you can go back to the Roe v. Wade decision, the abortion decision. We hardly talk about it anymore, do we? You know, we hardly menstruate over it anymore, and yet we just had the March for Life in Washington. 45 years of this nonsense of a Supreme Court decision, a Blackmun decision, that basically says a woman has a right to kill her fetus, kill her embryo. Nowhere in the Constitution is there any mention of such a privacy or such a right, nor is the Supreme Court entitled to even make a ruling, and yet they did it in 1973. Now, what was the result of this culturing down, this moral downturn in America? Well, the result of it now has been even more destruction of the family unit, as you've noted. All of the follow-up to abortion is just like the follow-up to forced busing. What followed the bus? Well, all of these programs you've just mentioned, to name a few. And then we look at the secular humanist agenda in the classroom, and then we wonder why, after the infamous 1962 prayer decision, in which they threw prayer out of the schools and forbid free speech regarding religion, what happened? Now we have schools in which there are nothing but the inmates running the asylum. Teachers are, are just being threatened, and teachers are threatening others and fighting and killing, knifing, stabbing, shootings almost daily now are occurrences in our schools. So, again, I'm not sorry. I'm not unhappy about it. I'm actually enjoying it because I want to see the American public, this nation, this Israel of God, receive the bounty that it so roundly deserves. I mean, when you throw God out, you got to let somebody else in, and who is that somebody else? Satan. So we've got to let it run its course. And finally, I say, rather than even thinking about building new schools and paying for it with taxpayers' money, I say we should just let them collapse and let them totally destroy themselves. Socialism winds up carrying the seeds of its own destruction. And that's true of Marxism, too. Marxism is what names the public school system. Karl Marx said we need it to do what? To destroy the family, to destroy private property. And isn't that what it is doing, private property and the family? Yes. So there you go.
It's destroying private property, and it's destroying the family, is the way it's set up. Okay, it's absolutely, they actually have us paying for the destruction. What is the system? Now, who did it? Who got the school busing contracts? Laidlaw did, now called First Student. Who owned Laidlaw? The Brockman Crime Syndicate. All right, who was involved in the JFK assassination? Former Senator Arlen Specter. Okay. Who then took control of the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Senate Judicial Committee? Senator Specter. Okay. Who was the one who basically promoted taking the school prayer out? And Specter's power, his power base was in southeastern Pennsylvania, one of which is Abington, Pennsylvania, run by the Cosa Nostra. And wasn't that one of the cases there, Shemp versus Abington School District,
yes,
where they ruled they'll take school prayer out?
Mm-hmm.
How interesting. A small community in southeastern Pennsylvania run by the Jewish Mafia takes school prayer out. What a coincidence. Oh, yeah. And then also his power broker with the Bucks County Republican Party, Harry Fox, that was the guy after him, Herbie Brines, told him in home building business. And the other thing about this is he also was supporting, the Roe versus Wade. Now, what's interesting about the abortion rate, it's almost equal to the immigration rate. Okay, so it's 30 million, 50 million Americans that were aborted would have been Americans here rather than using immigration labor. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And who was brainwashing us to do that? Planned genocide, which we call Planned Parenthood. Okay, as not presenting any other options for, women with, distressful situations to be able to have their children and not destroy them. And who's back basically owned some of these abortion clinics, okay? One was Congressman Allison Swartz, again out of this mob-controlled city, Abington, Pennsylvania. And she runs 9 abortion clinics, keeps her own kids, but tells good old everybody else get rid of them, okay? Mm-hmm. What a racket. And now that there's a shortage of American people after all the abortion, oh, we got to have immigration labor from the rest of the world. And that way we can set it up so we can take the businesses out of the country.
It's so obvious. Yeah, right. It's destroying, and that's what Satan is, a destroyer. That's his name. So his children are doing exactly that. They're destroying what God has created. God created the family, created this nation, the followers of this nation, the founders of it, to give us that religious freedom. And now we have no religious liberty in our public institutions. We have no private property that will continue to maintain itself. People every day I know of now being forced off their property, forced to sell, and that should be a cherished American right. So we're reaping what we have sown. And, you know, we've abandoned those godly, points and those foundations, the cornerstones of America, and we've embraced Satan's children. Now, I'm going to give you an example in a little bit because I want to move over to Vice President Pence, okay, and why he's over there in Europe and the Middle East. And of course, he's not welcome anywhere in Palestine because he represents hardcore Zionist values. But this is where the problem is. We're going to shift in a little bit over to this business of these so-called Christian politicians like Pence are not just politicians. They're bad enough as politicians, but more, they're devotees of this so-called Christian Zionist ideology. And that makes them even more dangerous when they do that, because now they believe in their heart of hearts in this cause of jumping into bed with those in that city who rule the city that Jesus Christ says he's going to destroy when he comes. They're endorsing it. They're in bed with them. So does it make any sense? No. Are they God's people the way they speak and act? No, they're not acting for God. They're acting for the other one. So, I mean, yeah, it's true. This is why we're reaping what we have sown. If we knew our national moorings and we got back to who is Israel, what is Israel, and who are the people of God, then we could understand why blessings have disappeared from our nations. And now we're under the curses of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So we really can't complain. You know, I don't feel sorry, Art, for these teachers, because I have a close relative who is in the union and sees these cases every day. These teachers that are trying to get out, trying to retire. They can't find substitutes because substitutes are afraid to go into schools. And, you know, I say good. The NEA, the AFT, Albert Shanker, all of these people for years were supporting that Shemp decision. They were thinking it was just a wonderful idea. We don't want God in the schools. We want secular humanism, weren't they?
Right. Well, they were. Yeah. But it's not just the K-12. I mean, look at the colleges. Okay.
Of course.
You got Hillel in there. Okay. Hillel, run by the Brofman Crime Syndicate. You know, Edgar Brofman was the chairman. Okay. You got Brandeis in there. Okay. Which, you know, goes back to the creature of Jekyll Island, for one thing. But the Brandeis University is in there saying, we are going to basically go on a witch hunt through every university, college throughout the United States and sue anybody who opposes the Zionist agenda. Okay? We got Lugovitcher, you know, which is in a lot of college campuses. Okay? Then we got B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League in there. And you got those four institutions in just about every major college and university throughout the United States. You know, on a witch hunt, not much different than the KGB, making sure that people express the communist Bolshevik agenda in every college and university in this country. They even got it at Annapolis, at the training center for the for the Navy. You know, how ridiculous has it got to be?
Well, as I said earlier, with the decision in higher education, the Bakke decision, followed for years that flow, ebb and tide of more government intervention in education. See, they brought it on themselves, Art, because in 1964, you know, it all started under the Johnson administration. After Kennedy was wiped out, he was expanding every social program you could think of, the so-called Great Society, right?
Right.
And what did he come up with? Model cities, which was another idea, came right from the Cosa Nostra and the Council on Foreign Relations. Then they came up with more welfare, more distribution of the wealth, Medicare, Medicaid, and all these things are fine now. We're all dependent on them, as some of us are, you know, and we can't help it. The fact of the matter is we were dragged into a poverty situation. We were reduced to a crumb level so that we would be more dependent on the government. That's the whole point, is to make everybody depended on the government, and the governments depended on the banksters. So it's a nice little arrangement. So what do they do in the 60s? College education. Pell, Senator Pell from Rhode Island, unfortunately for my state. He was in the Senate for like 30 years, and he put his name on a piece of legislation called the Pell Grants, only he didn't pay for it. The taxpayers paid for it. And it cheapened education. It increased government control over the higher colleges and schools and so on and so forth. Then we had the grants going into the student loans. And now where's the student loan industry? Boy, the students can't afford their debt, and suicides are way up. And that's about to collapse like the car loan industry. So it's one big, neat de-escalation, I would say, a descent into slavery, as Des Griffin said in his book.
Yeah, and he knows the end result of most of this is being majorly indebted to one financial institution or another for housing, for education, for medical expenses. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's figuring out a way to financially extract as much juice out of every American we can, rather than actually looking for the common good of the communities. That's what I see is going on.
Right.
And it's time for us to wake up. Since they control the media, we can't look at other ways. Well, we are right now, as an example. But in general, with their control of the media, you're not allowed to even express in public the ideas of a cooperative approach to improve situations and get the financial institutions out of there. Here's what I was going to go back is to LIBOR. What happens is they basically go into your schools, as an example. They put the bond there. And what do? They lowball it, okay? Now, why would a financial institution lowball when, you know, the cost of doing business is probably higher than the interest rate they're getting on the bond? Well, there's two simple reasons. One is it basically takes away financial control from the local community, the local financial institutions, and goes to a globalist control. Two is who's getting all the contracts? And tell me how many of those contracts, you know, that they're using the bonds on that you know, some of your local politicians or the businesses aren't giving consideration right back to the banks. So they aren't losing money. They're basically playing it two ways. You know, one way to lend the money out, and the other way is get all the grease coming right back to them. And that's the thing that I've never heard. And, you know, it's almost never heard about that people are, that there's proper financial auditing with the expenditures for all these bonds that are going out there. Where is the accountability back to the public that actually is paying for it? I see very little financial accountability, and that's where we need financial audits on an ongoing basis to see how that money's being spent and who's getting the contracts.
Well, you would think so now. If you had honest general treasurers and, you know, people overseeing, you know, the expenditures of state legislatures. I mean, you know, the people that are supposed to be looking into it, those that are in charge of accounting and finance and, you know, the accounting offices and so forth and so on. These are the real questions. If finances now are just about over, cities and states and towns on bankruptcy, you know, you talk about California being in such dire straits in every sense of the word, environmentally as well, physically, but financially, these are time bombs. They cannot afford it. And yet, where are these audits? Where are these forensic audits? You know, where are these, you know, comptrollers of the currencies of the state budgets coming forth? You know, the people that look at the liabilities and where is the money going? Whose hands is the money really going into? You look at the pension swindles, you know, and you're touching on it on your forum, noplaceforcorruption.com.
Right, and I'm thinking of one infamous treasurer who actually brought this to attention. I think his name was Bud Dreyer when he blew his brains out.
Bud Dreyer.
And so why is it the convicted felon in that case now running the Pennsylvania Republican Party as their national committee man, Robert Asher? Okay, out of you know, 12 to 15 million people in Pennsylvania, why is a convicted felon indicted with contract fraud with the Pennsylvania Treasury running the Republican Party? And the reason, I know the reason why, is because Herbie Bernas, the head of the Bucks County Republican Party, put him in power there and also put Tom Ridge in power, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. These people are, quote, elected, but they're not really a choice in the election process. You know, you've done some work and others have done it in your state and elsewhere where you've actually resulted in the movement to recall some of the politicians and then to indeed get them out or replaced. And then you have to ask yourself, well, that's all good and well. Now, who do you replace them? You replaced one shill maker with another shill maker, or somebody who's worse than the incumbent. And again, the whole political process of this country is firmly in the hands of the children of Cain. They run it all. Rosenthal said it. They've got the financial, economic, political basis to run it nationally. On the local level, yeah, you can crack a few heads and that's good. Smash a few onions, you know, right up against the wall. That's wonderful. When it comes to the national situation and beyond, they have all the cards. So they own it all, basically. But we're there as a watchman on the wall, and hopefully we're doing our jobs, folks. All right, we'll come back. Art and Philly, you stay with me. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
And thank you all for joining us, folks. Once again today, Rick Adams Uncensored. Don't forget Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program every week, some new guests, and of course he's at his forum, www.andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Give a listen. You'll find some fascinating guests, including Mike Walsh and a host of others. Now, let me just get back to art. We have a caller from New York on the line, and if you wish to participate, by all means, do so. 800-313-9443 is the number. Let me go to Reese in New York. Hello, Reese. Come on up.
Yes. Hey, good afternoon, Rick and Art. Enjoyed listening to the discussion. Very enlightening as usual when you have Art on because he's done his research. I've done mine as well, Rick, and we need to start, you know, collaborating together to expose what the real threat is. And by the way, I would like to congratulate RBN in having a broadcast on this week, which exposed the Harold Wallace Rosenthal revelations that came out in his interview with Walter White in 1976 or 78. I don't know if you caught that, gentlemen.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we had it on our TV program as well.
Very good. Not to take you off topic, I want to comment on some of what Art was referring to, the communization of America. And here's another name that you'll never hear discussed. Your Google search results will turn up no results when you put in William Wirt into your search engine or on YouTube. You'll come up with from the 18th century. They'll redirect you to...
Wait a minute. Now, spell the name, please. Can you spell the last name?
William? Yes. Yes, exactly, because I didn't have the spelling correct myself when I looked it up. It's W-I-R-T, Wirt.
Okay.
Right. William Wirt.
I haven't heard of him.
Yeah, try looking it up and see what your search results give you. You'll find you'll have to search far and wide to get to this article because they're deep-sixing it as they're doing this with many other topics now, giving you search results that are not the one that you're looking for. Now, William Wirt was in, he was, I believe, the Attorney General in the Roosevelt administration. We're talking about the early to mid-30s. He was in the White House when Roosevelt had Harry Dexter White and Harry Hopkins and a number of other communist collaborators meeting in the White House discussing implementing the 10 planks of communism in America. He was present at those meetings. And he went public. He had newspaper articles published. He went in the press and he was interviewed. But, of course, the press at that time was highly Jewish-controlled, and they attacked his character, tried to impugn his motives, calling him an anti-Semite, to try to do away with it. Art, are you familiar with William Wirt's revelations?
I'm learning right now from what you have to say. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, well, all right. We've got the break now, right now, Reese, so can you just hold on and others on the line, and we'll pick this up on the other side, second hour. All righty, you stay where you are. Art, you can stay, I hope, because you've got a lot to say today, and so do I. Rick Adams, Uncensored. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.